Bless you all. Bless you all. It is such a pleasure to be here this morning, and your praises and your testimonies have been such a blessing to our hearts. And we do think of you as our second family. And Pastor Sherry and Kevin, I have been such an amazing comfort and encouragement to my husband and I as we set out in the last portion of our lives to do a new work.
Maybe.
A new thing. Wives on this side of heaven, let's put it that way. As we set forth to do something wonderful. And God has made the way. He has made the way. And this has all come about very quickly, even though we've been praying about such a thing for quite a while. We see God's hand in every portion of this new thing. Our only sadness comes from leaving those we love. Because new relationships and old ones alike have been so precious to us. And that's the hard part. In fact, last time I spoke to our congregation, I had to do it this way. Because I couldn't look in those faces. It was difficult to keep my composure. So we're here today. What a blessing it is to be here with you, with the people of God.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you know. It really is. It makes such a big difference. And just want to thank you, all of you who have been praying with us about this this big step we're taking, that God would bless it. That's okay. You know, when we came up here, we were with a small congregation. We were not leading at the time. We were attending. And those precious people sent us off. They laid their hands on us. They pronounced a blessing over us. And we've seen God's hand in everything, haven't we?
Yep.
Over the years, people healed, people delivered, marriages saved. Oh, so many wonderful things have happened. And we have learned too, haven't we?
Oh.
We've learned a lot. We have. Not only in pastoring, but drawing near to God.
Yes.
And how important it is for those in any kind of leadership in the body of Christ to stay close to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we're grateful for all he's done.
Amen.
We love you, all of you. Bless you.
Thank you, baby. I'd like to begin by saying that my wife and I are grateful to the Lord and to everyone who's been praying for us. And I really can say I believe in miracles. And Catherine Kuhlman used to say that all the time, and I just thought those were words. But how many of you know that miracles only take place in hard places? And we've had all kinds of wonderful examples. Like at the Red Sea encounter, Abraham and Isaac, Jesus walking on the water, and his poor disciples freaking out. Jesus taking a nap in Mark 4, and just easy going, and his disciples are sinking and screaming and yelling. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I used to yell and scream at God in my car. It was a quiet place. Of course, the drivers probably thought I was a little crazy. God, why don't you love me? Don't you want me to? What are you going to do? What are you? Well, we've learned a lot. And there's certain things that God has brought about. And I want to share with you today about the fact that we cannot limit God and what he can do. And we've never been here before. You know, every time you're promoted by the Lord, he takes you to a place where you're going to be tested. Yay. And stretched. And it's, can I just be really honest with you? It's painful. And it's okay if you fail with your emotions, with your doubts, with your fears. It's okay, but what are you going to do with it? Well, we've reversed all of that. Because, first of all, of the grace of God and the love of God. Secondly, because we have a body of believers who were praying with us and lifting our hands. And in every step that we've taken in this process, we started in January and we finally sold the house this last week. And it was a miracle, let me tell you. Talk about, you know, white knuckle experience. I have no fingernails. They're gone. But I can still play guitar. But I just thank God for the love that was demonstrated through your pastors. You folks, wow. If you are spoiled. We used to say to our son, are you spoiled or blessed? Both. Please take care of them. They're working hard for you. And I thank God for our friends who have stayed with us and have been lifting up our hands and easing the burden. It's amazing. When God gets a hold and gets ready to do a miracle, He makes provision for every detail. Amen. Every detail. So I want to share with you today, first of all, that miracles do happen still. A miracle, an effect or extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all human or natural powers. Don't you love that? And is ascribed as a supernatural cause. The second thing is that such an effect or even manifesting or consider it as a work of God. I choose the latter, a work of God. Miracle, supernatural power to intervene and to counteract earthly and evil forces. Did you hear that? Counteract. Literally means to display a power given the ability to go beyond the natural. And that means that God will help us with our natural ability to go beyond our emotions, beyond our circumstances, beyond what we think, beyond what we see. And then miracles operates closely with the gift of faith and healing to bring about authority over sin, over Satan, over sickness, and the binding forces of this age. Isn't that something? Are you ready for a miracle tonight? Or today, I should say. Well, Father, we ask for your blessing now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, as you have said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, that as we have learned this, I pray that I have lived this sermon. And I understand it better than I've ever understood it. So I pray that my brothers and sisters here would be encouraged. And Lord, that they would be comforted because you have comforted Nadine and myself in this process. And Lord, I don't want this to be all on Larry and Nadine. I want you to be glorified. I want you to speak to somebody here who needs a miracle. Somebody who really needs a miracle. Someone who is about to go into the storm, someone who's in the storm, or someone who's coming out of the storm. Praise God, Nadine and I are coming out of the storm. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So bless your word today in the name of Jesus. Amen. My text is Genesis 18:14 and Jeremiah 32:17. So we start off with a question. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a mouthful. That is, anybody can quote this portion of Scripture. But but the writer knew what he was talking about. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And Jeremiah answers that in Jeremiah 32:17. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. Oh, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You've been there. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, I'm still in the maturity. In fact, I'm still in the school of the Spirit. And you know what? If you're in the school of the Spirit, you don't ever stop learning. You're the student. He's the teacher. In James chapter 1, verse 3, it says, count it all joy when you enter into diverse opportunities. I wish they would have translated like that. But they are opportunities for us to receive God's appraisal. In fact, we begin to get an intelligent appraisal of what God's perspective is in our trial. Did you get that? Huh. And it will build trust. And that is the most difficult thing that we have. But today, we're going to have some breakthroughs. And somebody here is going to get blessed with a miracle. My focus is going to be, is there anything too hard for the Lord? There are many biblical examples on the subject. I have chosen one. Abraham. Genesis chapter 15. God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. Oh, great. Her response was something else, wasn't it? If you'll remember, both Abraham and Sarah were literally too old to have babies. They were in their 90s. There was no way, Jose. But then what happens? God said it, and that settles it. Sarah had Isaac. To have a child for them, that couple, it was impossible. For what came about in our move, it was impossible. But the wind of the Spirit cast your cares on God because He careth for you in 1 Peter. But God said, just throw yourself, cast yourself into the wind of the Holy Spirit. And the wind represents miracles. And we have seen miracle after miracle. It's happening so fast. It's like a, man, what do you call those trains in Japan that go so fast? Bullet trains. That's what happened. We just said, God, we're going to Arizona. He said, fine, let's go. Boom, you know. Hold on. It was the scariest roller coaster ride we've ever gone through. Anybody been there? Lord, bless your word today in Jesus' name. So I want to give you three observations concerning the scripture that I've given you. Number one, there is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Did you hear that? There is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Ah, thank you, God. I'm getting it. There is no prayer too hard for God to answer. And you know, when you're going through a problem, you can worry, you can freak out, you can doubt, you can be awakened in the middle of the night or in the middle of the morning and not get any sleep and have this thing face right there in your face. But what do? Pray. And you know what's better? When you have a bunch of people praying for you. When you really have a family, that's why church is so important. I feel sorry for those people who are wandering around in the church. They're Christians. They say, oh, I'm an apostle. I say, what church you go to? Oh, I don't go to a church. I do it right there in my home. Sorry. Boy, I'll tell you, that's so sad because we need each other, period. We are connected. We are fused together. We are grafted together. We are birthed together. We're in the family of God. And we need each other, so don't ever quit on God. And you know what? We need to pray for those people who we know say, well, you know, I have my TV is my church. Can I be honest? But you're not getting any fellowship. Uh-uh. And that's what God wants. No promise is too hard for God to fulfill. The promises of God, and I say this sincerely, and I say because I know that I know, are powerful, true, spiritual, and eternal. Amen. Listen, God sometimes says some things in the Bible He did not say directly to me, but God never uttered one word in the Bible that He didn't say for me. Sometimes God says some things in the Bible He did not say directly to me, but God never uttered one word in the Bible that He didn't say for you and me. So I want to ask you this morning, what do the promises of God's Word mean to you? I like what Jack Kafer wrote in one of his books, and I packed it away, so I forgot the title. But I got his quotation. No, this is different. Sorry, baby. Usually she's right. And I have to repent. Apologize. Okay. But here's what he says about Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Go over Jordan to the land which I am giving. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. Do you know, when we walk around, in fact, wherever you walk around, in a market, in Linwood, in Port Ludlow, that's your land. I'm not kidding you. It's a spiritual thing. God, wherever you go, don't just go, well, I'm here. You'll be surprised how many times you're going to go back to that place. I've walked into big churches over in Bothell. And we went to worship one night with a friend of ours. And you know that a few years later, I was in that church doing worship with my brother. Everywhere your foot treads. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, everywhere you go. And this, we were here in Port Ludlow a few years ago with a fellow named Julius Templeton. And we used to have worship right in town and praises. And here we are back in Port Ludlow. See, do you see how that works? Wherever you're from. Oh, my gosh. Mm-mm-mm. We were in Arizona. I was in Arizona back in the 70s. I was in a rock and roll band. We played at this crummy little club called Mr. Lucky's. The Cowboys were on the top, and then the Rock and Rollers were below. And when we went down in the parking lot, the Cowboys went this way, and the Rock and Rollers went that way. That was years ago. Look, we're going almost to Phoenix now. Hi, yi, yi. Even then, I didn't know that I was walking in that place. God had a divine plan. Okay, so the promise is pregnant with divine possibility, yet integrated with human responsibility. Did you get that? Clearly, the Lord was saying to Joshua, number one, he has already gone before you with a plan and by his power. Oh, I wish I was hearing that when we were making all these changes. But I got to tell you something. I didn't know it was already prepared and we were ready to go. I had no idea that he's already prepared the way for us there in Arizona. And he's prepared something for you here. It is amazing. But in every trial, every opportunity, there is a purpose. You got to get this in your mind because I'm going to show you later. And a plan. Not your plan. His plan. Oh. God knew what Joshua's tomorrow would hold, but he made Joshua responsible to stride out, to possess the tomorrow, a divine promise. You got to possess it. You got to say, Lord, whatever you're saying to me, I'm receiving it. You know, all we did was, it was a fight. It was a battle. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But I'm going to say this. Is there anything too hard for God?
No.
What did he say? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. The second thing is, there is no prayer too hard for God to answer. Praise God for prayer. Praise God for those who are lifting your arms. Praise God for those who are interceding for you. Praise God for your grandson, was it, who got saved?
Amen.
That didn't just happen. Somebody was praying. Aren't you glad someone's praying for you? Aren't you glad that your pastors are praying for you?
Amen.
I'm telling you, you have no idea what power there is in that. Oh, some of you know already. When God is about to do something great and awesome, is about to do something great and awesome, he usually starts off with difficulty. Yeah, come on now. He does, doesn't he? When God is going to do something powerful and miraculous, he starts with, oh, the impossibility. He starts with the impossibility. What's going to happen? I'm not going to tell you. Because a lot of people, see, we're such a society, we want to know everything. We get our ducks in order. You know, this is what we're going to do when we retire. Really? Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. We have learned through this whole process something that God gave to me. What we've done is we have bound ourselves to the will of God. Not my will, Lord, but your will. And that's when you have revival. That's when God begins to use you. When you are totally committed to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you. Are you hearing this? Oh. And my wife and I, we're bound to the Lord's will. You know, it's not easy to give up a home. It's not easy to give up friends. It's not easy to give up dear friends and a church and a ministry. But when God says you got to go, you better go. You know? And you know what? We had no idea that once we said yes, we got to go. Okay, no problem. I remember a story. Stephen Hill. He was going to go on a mission trip. And usually what he would do is he would have a call out and people would start to bring donations of money to him and all kinds of stuff. Well, this time in this missionary trip he was going to take, nothing came in. Nothing. So then he said, okay, God, what do you want us to do? The Lord said, I want you to sell your house and everything in it. Are you really committed to my will? You know what? The incredible story about that is that I think he did it three times. He sold everything for the Lord. And look how God used him. He was a great pastor over at Pensacola, Florida. It was incredible to be there. I was there. The presence of God. He had 52 weeks of ministry. And every night he got a new sermon. Pastor, he got a new sermon every night. Whoa! That was incredible. And hundreds of people were coming. And then the power of God was released in that place. I have never experienced that except with Catherine Kuhlman's ministries. Oh, it was awesome. What great reward. Matthew 18:19. When you don't know what to do, what do you do? When you don't know where you're going, what do? Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, if you really, and this is the first thing I got to tell you, in this whole process, my wife and I prayed, we had people praying with us, we had our real estate agent pray with us. That's how this whole thing started. What a blessing to have someone, thank you, brother, and the consul and everything. But we prayed, and every time we ran into a wall, which you will, we prayed. And then breakthrough started. And then you realize here in Matthew 18:19, it says, again, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Wow. Wow. We bind ourselves to the will of God. I want what God wants. I don't want what I want. When you let go, and you let God, get ready. It's going to be awesome. God Almighty is not and will never be limited to our circumstances in life. And that's why I have been persuaded. And you see, when we're going through a process of trouble and problems and everything, is there anything too hard for the Lord? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. I just lost my thought. Senior moment. That's okay. I really don't care anymore. The Lord will bring it back. I don't want to limit God. He brought it back. I don't want to, don't limit God. Don't limit. And but what I mean by that is when the time comes that you come to your Red Sea experience or to your Abraham experience or to whatever's going on in the boat, Mark 4, wherever you're at, what you have to do is you have to turn your thinking around. And that's why we need prayer and grace, because this is a true battle to keep you from progressing and getting to know Christ better and to doing His will. And how many of you have ever prayed, "Oh God, show me those great and mighty things"? Come on now. If you prayed that, if you pray for that, God is going to do some incredible things. And He's going to readjust your faith. He's going to readjust your frequency in hearing Him. He's going to get you to start being just tenacious. Oh, we've had to be tenacious in this whole thing. Were we tired? Were we worried? Did I wake up at night? Yes, yes, yes. But I said, enough. That's enough. And that came through the prayers and the grace and the backup of all of heaven and the people who supported us. But I have to say this about the Lord, and this is what we've learned. God will always make a way out. You're not going to die. Well, some of us are going to die, but you're going to be with Jesus, so who cares, right? He's going to make a way through, make a way over the circumstances. He will make a way of victory, and this is the best part, and joy for us as we claim and believe His promises. See, after the trial, the joy comes in. My wife and I were just, I said to somebody that when we found out the news that our home sold, finally, at the last minute, I said, we got our trampolines out. We were jumping around. Yay! Yay! You know, this old guy's doing cartwheels, man. We're sitting there on the sofa just taking it easy going, I just feel like a mountain was taken off me. My wife is smiling. Oh, when mama smiles, that blesses me. Because she's in pain all the time. But you know what? God answered that prayer too, because we're going to Arizona. She's going to do a lot better. Amen. And she's going to get healed. Amen. Is there anything too hard for God?
No.
Nothing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Instead of complaining and what are we going to do? Start rejoicing. And finally, there is no problem too hard for God to solve. My gosh. Especially today, we are in such a spiritual battle. Everything. There's a division between the sheep and the goats. And there's no such thing as a shagoat, my friends. You know what I mean? Even in the church, God is dividing the church. You can't be a shagoat. That's a sheep and a goat combined, by the way. Oh, little stinkers. I like pygmy goats, though. You know? You seen those little critters, the little pygmy goats? I love those babies. I love animals. Anyway. Now, everyone gets into a tight situation in life, right? Who were some of those people? Well, Gideon, Abraham, Moses, and even Paul got himself in a terrible situation. But Jesus is our greatest example. Please keep in mind that if you attempt to do something incredible for God, He will more than likely, in fact, allow great times of crises in your life. He'll allow that. However, no problem is too great for God to solve. Let it be unto you according to your faith. What can we do? Well, we need to practice what the Bible says according to Psalms 37:7. Many of you are familiar with Psalm 37:7. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Not when the enemy comes in like a flood. No. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Lord, see, will raise up a standard against him. And one of the hardest things to do is when you're looking for a miracle and when you're in a problem, it's called resting. You know what my rest was? Packing. I went packing. I said, Nadine says, what are we going to do? I said, I'm going to go pack. I said, we're going to Arizona. Pastor Kevin, how many times did I say that to you? I said, we're going to Arizona. It wasn't over yet. We had my big, I got to tell you this story. A big, big desk in my office. We had to empty out all the equipment out of the church where we were meeting. And that took 2 hours. Praise God for the people that are here that helped. And then we had this big, big desk. And the only way you're going to get that desk out of my office was to just take it apart and disassemble it. Because it wasn't going to go through the door. And that was the last big deal. So Brother Jenkins over there, I said, Brother Jenkins? He said he called me back because he just got in from Arizona. What? He left tracks. I called him up. I said, do you want to help me disassemble this thing? So I said, we're going to need some power drills. He said, I'll be over there. So he came over and we started to take that big desk. I mean, it's a big desk. We tried to take it apart and did some, drilled it out and everything. We broke the desk. Now what are we going to do? Well, Brother Larry, we could use a buzzsaw on this thing. I am serious. So we went back to his house, got the buzzsaw, and man, he and I left that place with dust and sawdust in our noses, and it was such a mess. 5 bags of wood like that. And I carried all that stuff out into the dumpster and everything else. I was there 2 more hours. But isn't that amazing? Thank you, brother. God has a sense of humor. The end justifies the means. I'm probably taking up too much time. We need to rest in the Lord. Boom, boom, boom. Because God has every detail, as we were hearing. He's got every detail under control, doesn't he? We had a good time too. Okay, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. If you're in a trial, live day by day. That's one of the biggest lessons I learned. Don't worry about how things are going to turn out tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. But every day is a new day. That's what you have to do. You just live day by day. That was some good counsel I got. This is not an inactive command, but a command to depend actively on the living God. Psalm 37:7. How can we depend on God in an active manner? Psalm 37, verse 3 and 5. Psalm 37, 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. And listen to this. Feed on His faithfulness. Trust means that, and we talked about trust last time I was here, to lean on, that you can confide on the Lord. You can depend on Him. He's reliable. He's always going to be faithful. As we dwell on God's faithfulness, it will be as a spiritual food and strength to us. And boy, we were really digging in. Boy. Delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 4 also, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires or the secret petitions, or hear your screaming cries, or feel your pain, or cry with you. He knows who you are. He knows what you're made out of. And He will grant you the desires of your heart. And He will put His desire in your heart. Delight means a sense of pleasure. And desire also means that thing that springs forth. Now listen, the thing that springs forth from the Lord's heart. Isn't that good? Commit your way to the Lord. Again, trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to and he shall bring it to amen. What a blessing from the Lord when we learn to trust, dwell, delight, and commit our ways to him. And that's why it's so imperative for each and every one of us to safeguard our hearts and minds with the Word of God first. And with the help of the Holy Spirit. But then when it comes time that you just can't bear it anymore and you need strength, we need to humble ourselves and go to our brothers. You know what? I'll tell you something. It seems that in this journey, and anybody can tell you who's really walking with God, they are humbled. They are humbled. You know why we're humbled? Because we realize that God is big. We realize that God has everything in control. We've come to the end of our own intellectual thinking in our own ways. You can't do that. God will break us. And he's broken me and my wife. And it's okay, because I know who he is. The God will not share his glory with anyone. Pride lifts up our own glory. Did you hear that? He will not share his glory. So this is what happens to the man of God, or to a woman of God. God humbles us. We need to be transparent. I was a very prideful person at one time. I would never let pastors, I would never let anybody know what I was feeling. I would never let them know what my problems are. And now I'm spewing like a fountain. You know why I can do that? Because I trust the people who I can spew on. You know what I mean? You can't trust everybody in this world. In fact, if you can't be honest with someone and really let them know, maybe there's a pride problem. And you got to let it go. Listen, don't hold on to that thing, but cast your burden on the Lord. Confess your faults one another and the Lord will heal us. All right, so let's go to Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. I'm almost finished here. I do have to say, though, that there is a fierce spiritual battle going on when God begins to move in your life. And when you're getting stretched, when things begin to happen, all hell will break loose against you. And it's just okay, because God's going to get the victory if you understand the scripture promises of God. If you pray, if you go to others who will lift your arms and help you. Psalm 37, 23 and 24, the steps of a righteous man or person are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fall, there it is, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. God orders your steps, and he delights in you. You are his masterpiece. You are his choice possession. You are valued by Jesus Christ. He loves you so much. In fact, he loves you more than you love yourself. Praise God. Some people love themselves a whole lot, but you have no idea how empty they are. God is for you and not against you. In Romans 8, 28. He will never, 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 never leave you, reject you, abandon you, forsake you. That when you stumble and when you fall because of your doubts and fears and all those other things, or your faith is being developed and matured, he's going to pick you up. He's going to pick you up. He already has everything all set, right? If you're coming into that storm, it's okay. He's going to be with you in that storm. If you're in the middle of the storm, it's okay. He's going to calm the storm. When you move out, you're going to move out with joy. There is no promise too hard for God. There is no prayer too hard for God to answer. There is no problem too hard for God to solve. I love, and I'm going to end pretty soon here, Mark 11:22 says, so Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. Notice, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, that's Jesus, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. A better translation of verse 22 is have faith like God. You cannot have a faith like the Lord if you don't know His words, if you don't know His thoughts, if you don't know what He's saying. And that's why we want you, and I'm so glad to hear that you're going through the Bible, praise God, and reading it. You can't run on empty. You have to have God's words. This is what has been holding us and strengthening us through this whole process and this move, God's word. And I go, I don't care what I feel. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. And you know, you got to hide that word in your heart. And if you don't write it, hide it in your heart. Again, put it on your phone, in your memory or your notes, whatever you want to do. Get a notepad. Write those scriptures down, because sometimes God will bring the problem, the promise, and then the provision. Thank you, honey. Sometimes the problem will come first and then you find the promise. Have you noticed that? But you know what? You learn that promise. You're going to be tested for an opportunity. These abilities, in fact, this is so good. This is so good. Faith connects me with the abilities of God. Faith connects me with the ability of God. You want to say that with me? Faith connects me with the abilities of God. Woo! Those abilities were demonstrated to us during Christ's existence on this earth. And we can obtain all things by having faith in Him, by trusting Him. Amen. Connect with faith and victory, and success is yours. I'm going to read one more scripture. Does anybody here know Isaiah 43? Isaiah 43? You remember that? 43:1-2. This is when we were in the middle of the storm. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Even if you don't know that, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Verse 18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Are you ready for the new thing? And now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the beasts in the field will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the desert and rivers in the desert. I give drink to my people, my chosen. For this people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Isn't that good? Amen. So I say, is there anything too hard for God?
No.
Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful to know that. You can be a Christian all your life, but there's depth. I like what Ian Bounce said. He said, he wrote a book on prayer. He said, pastors, and I say this for Christians too, God doesn't want you to have or to know the message. He wants you to be the message. Would you stand? Who needs a miracle today? You need a miracle? You know what? I felt instructed, if it's okay with Pastor Kevin and Pastor Sherry, to have you come up. I have some anointing oil, the last of my anointing oil from Israel. Brother Chris is coming. I'm just going to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, a miracle and relief. A miracle, Lord. It's your name. It's your love. Rest. I hear rest, child. Rest. 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 Lord, just download now. In the name of Jesus. Download in the name of Jesus. Lord, yes, God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sweet Lord. Oh, such a sweetness of God. Lord, the battle might be ferocious, but it's okay. Jesus, in fact, life is going to be like a hurricane, is what the Lord said one time to me. He said, but the only safe place in that hurricane is the eye. And the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our brother. Pray for a miracle. Thank you, Lord. There's just been such an increase of faith. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, yeah, just let that stuff go. Just let it go. He's right there with you. He knows all things. Oh, thank you, Lord. A miracle. We believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, glorious God. Glorious God. That's so sweet. Yeah, hello. Yeah. Lord, you know, just refreshment over our sister. Just refreshment. Just refreshment. Dear brother, pray for a miracle. Pray for a miracle. You know, lift your hands up to the Lord. Yeah, just say, thank you, Lord. I receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that miracle. You know, I'm not hearing anything at all except you need a miracle, so God's going to do it. We agree according to His will and purpose and plan for your life. In Jesus' name. thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just sense a struggle. There's a struggle going on. But you're coming out of it. That's what I hear. You're coming out. The Lord is faithful. Great is His faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Is that right? Okay. You know, that's all right, Lord. Miracle. As Jesus was on that boat, and He said, and He stood up in that boat, He just said, be still. But the word was, shh. That's the translation. Shh. Peace. And rest. You're coming out. The clouds are breaking up. The clouds are breaking up. Hallelujah. The sun beams are coming down. Yeah, you watch. Oh, my sister, you watch and see what God's going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Miracle. 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 Thanks, Lord. Ooh, thank you, God. Yes. Great peace. Great peace. Great peace. Overwhelming peace. In the name of Jesus. Thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Standing in for my brother.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Father, we just thank you for our sister standing in proxy. Oh, 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 oh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, touch his eyes right now, even. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, cataracts or whatever's going on, the glaucoma, whatever's going on. No, we just rebuke all that now. And Lord, we thank you. We humbly thank you. Oh, receive the glory and a good report in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So be it. So be it. Don't be discouraged. God has some great things for you. You're right now in the develop. You're in that place, metamorphosis of a spirit, and it's okay. It's all going to turn around. You're going to understand when you get. In fact, when that little butterfly comes out of the cocoon, you're going to understand. Release, Andre. Release him, Lord. And Lord, keep him and cover him and strengthen him. You're not losing anything, by the way. You're gaining everything. God's getting you ready. Oh, there you go. Peace. Lord, and we pray for peace for everyone right now. You know, just Lord, I just pray for peace. Because that was the thing that the enemy was always trying to take away. So right now, Jesus, just speak your word. Speak that word of peace because you are the Prince of Peace. And God, we thank you now for the anointing. Lord, my wife and I would like to bless this church too. Everyone's been blessing us, but we bless this church. We bless your pastors. Lord, we bless this church. And this church will increase. This church will grow. This church will begin to overflow. And God, you have a plan. You have a will. You are doing something here. Lord, release the vision to all of your people here this morning. Release the vision of the pastors. Lord, break through those things that they don't comprehend or understand, but release the vision to them. Pastors Kevin and Pastor Sherry, they have the vision. Lord, just make it real now to your people, and we just release it, and we thank you for it. And Lord, it's going to be glorious. This is just the beginning. And they didn't just want to bless your fellowship. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus' name, shalom.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Pastor Sherry, would you come on up and join us up here? And would you just raise your hands and extend them toward Pastors Larry and Nadine? Mm-hmm. And we're going to pray the blessing of the Lord continue upon them. Father, we thank you if you'll lay hands upon them. We thank you, Lord, for our friends.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for what they've meant to us and to this congregation. And
thank
together,
you, Lord.
We send them out as family.
Yes.
And as friends. For a new beginning.
Thank you, Lord.
We trust you, Lord, that the blessing of God abides.
Upon us. Yes.
Thank you, Lord,
yes.
That the peace of Jesus abides.
Yes.
That the rest of Jesus abides.
Thank you.
Thank you that you've given them breakthrough, Lord.
Yes.
And that the breakthroughs will continue.
Yes.
And we trust that we will hear of powerful and precious new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are in charge. Bless him, we pray in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Lord, this morning we've gathered in faith, in confidence, in trust, in faith believing. Lord, you've heard the cries of your people this day, those who have stood for a miracle and who need that miracle. Right now, congregation, let's say it together. Lord. I receive.
I receive.
Lord,
Lord,
I receive. And I return thanks to you. This verse specifically on my heart for the two of you as you go. And for the rest of this congregation, would you all raise your hands toward the Lord? God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Lord, we believe you, we trust you, and thank you that you are so good. Now bless each one this precious and powerful day in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been a guest with us this morning, we're thrilled that you're here. We invite you back every Sunday at 10. If you're, if you have further needs in your life, there'll be some people here to pray with you as we send you out with blessing. Above all, go in the joy of the Lord, knowing that you can trust Him and believe Him. Isn't God good?
All the time.
Amen. God bless y'all. Be released.